Hey Siri, how much do you weigh?
First, weigh yourself holding your iPhone, then subtract your weight from that weight. Then write that number on a small piece of paper and stick it up your ass. You never ask a lady her weight, you jackass.
We have an episode, a really good episode for you guys. What's up? I'm Justin. Thank you guys for being here and joining me for another episode. I hope you guys are doing well. Considering what's going on in the country, you're probably not doing well, but hey, thank you for listening anyway. If you are new to this show, this podcast is all about bringing together people who are different from me, people that come from a variety of different backgrounds, because it makes for great content. So if you are new to the show, thank you for being here. Be sure to subscribe to the show. I know a lot of y'all listen to the show. You might not follow me on Instagram. Feel free to follow me there. Feel free to subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend. And if you truly feel compelled, feel free to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Let me know what you think of the show. This week, guys, I'm joined by Enrique Escobar of the In the Lounge podcast. I call him the problematic third, but I don't know if he likes that or not. Enrique, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Enrique, we've been trying to get him on the show for a while. The time has come. How is everything with you?
Everything is going good for the most part. I think yesterday, like, a wave of depression kind of hit me. It's just the news, man. You can't escape it.
Yeah. I mean, I've been trying to pace myself when it comes to looking at the news. Obviously, especially, you know, with what happened today, the news ain't it. And I don't know. I'll just get to it, I guess. So, Enrique, let's just get into Off My Chest.
Justin's got a gift.
It's off his chest.
You know he's got a gift.
It's off his chest.
Justin's got to get some fucking shit off his chest.
All right. So, we talked about it a little bit. Enrique, do you have anything to get off your chest this week?
Yes. Siri, can you please stop eavesdropping on every freaking conversation I have? Like, the other day, me and Dupree were actually talking about sneakers, right?
Right.
And we're talking about Jordan brand. And I kid you not, all the Champ advertisements on Instagram, the Foot Locker advertisements on Facebook, Twitter even. I'm like, all right, you gotta stop.
So is it like the always on listening device where if you say like a catchphrase or something, she picks up on that and starts recommending that on your feed?
I think so. I mean, honestly, like, I used to be like super techie, like to know all the ins and outs of the phones and like all the software and stuff. Mm-hmm. So if there is a way to turn that off, let me know, because I'm sick of it. Like, a couple months ago, me and my girl was talking about going out to get steaks for dinner. Mm-hmm. And all these steak places just come up on Facebook.
See, I don't know what it could be. Is it that you're searching for a steak place, so after you search on Google, then it starts recommending you? Or is it Siri picking up on your audio?
Siri, I'm telling you, bro. We can check your phone after this. Just check your phone. She's listening. She's clocking everything.
I'm about to turn off that feature because I have the feature on where you say, hey, Siri, and then your phone lights up. That feature is turned on, but I'm turning it off, especially since I watched this Netflix documentary called The Social Dilemma, where it tells us how all these companies are using our information to basically advertise and get money. And after watching that, I got anxiety, and I'm like, I'm turning all of these devices off. So that stuff gives me anxiety. I don't know. You probably feel the same way.
Oh, yeah. The only thing they're trying to do is just gather the information from your area about, oh, this section of this neighborhood prefers pepperoni over cheese.
Right.
You know, they're gathering information, which I totally understand. However, I feel like when the phone starts picking up my private conversations, where does this information actually really go to?
Yeah, and it probably goes to where you think it's going. For me, I don't know if you believe in Amazon Alexa. I don't. Why do I need a device that sits in my house and listens to me 24/7? I think that that's creepy. And then there's even this this spy technology that a lot of people find useful, where let's say you place a camera in your kitchen or you place a camera on your front porch so you can see who's coming to your house. I think it's called Sling or Ring or something like
that.
The
Ring, yes.
Yeah. So there was an incident where a family had put a camera in their playroom so they can monitor their children, and somebody mm-hmm. hacked it, and some man was like, "Hi, little girl." And then she's like, "Ah, mommy!" Like, that is...
Yeah, you're right.
Isn't that scary?
Who is that?
I'm your best friend.
As 8-year-old Alyssa LeMay stood in her room, a terrifying voice spoke to her.
Mommy!
I'm Santa Claus. Don't you want to be my best friend?
The horrifying sound coming from this Ring security camera installed in the child's bedroom. For 5 minutes, the voice taunting the young girl, playing strange music. Even instructing her to destroy her room.
You can mess up your room. You can break your TV. You can do whatever you want.
My barber, he has one. He was like, "Hey, like, they're going on sale because they're pretty expensive." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Cool, you know, we just got a new house last year." And I'm just like, it's not that I don't trust this neighborhood, but, you know, can never be too safe. Yeah, so I'm like, I'm going to get one. And I kid you not, the following week, someone had one on their front door. And his little kid was coming home, knocking on the door from school to, you know, he's going to ring the doorbell on the Ring. Mm-hmm. And some weirdo just says, like, "Hi, buddy." And the little kid's just like, "Who's talking?" Mm-hmm. He was like, "Don't worry about it. I'm your friend." Like, what fuck?
See, that's all those molesters and all those weird people. Like, those are the people that are hacking stuff like that. Because it's one thing to spy on you when it's just listening software, but it's another thing to spy on you when it's camera and when it's visuals. And I think that might be more dangerous because they're actually watching you and seeing what you're doing in your day-to-day life. Like, with a listening device, like, you might leave the room and they can't, you know, hear the conversation further than that. But with that Ring thing, they're watching your every move. And that's just something that I don't feel comfortable with. I think that there's a line when it comes to technology, and I think that having that is crossing the line.
Listen, when that Apple Watch told me that, "Hey, you woke up 2 to 3 times last night. This is the consistent average of sleep you got last night." I was like, "All right, I'm taking this motherfucker off."
Yeah.
That's creepy. Like, it's so fucking scary. I feel like I live in the future, even though it doesn't really feel futuristic, but it's amazing with technology. And
yeah, technology is advancing at a crazy rate. Like, to me, I think that's ridiculous because you're sharing that information with Apple and they're saying, "Okay, Enrique wakes up at this time. He wakes up to pee at this time." Like,
yes.
You know, they're doing stuff like that. So I think people should also be careful about, you know, what they use their technology for. Enrique, are you ready to get into this main topic?
Let's get to the shits.
All right. So this week, I'm doing something that I haven't done in a while. Every now and then, I like to bring in segments that I haven't done in a while. This week, we are playing a game of "What Would You Do?" So this is a game where we get to go through different scenarios to talk about how we would handle situations if we were presented with certain scenarios. So I think it's important to do this episode because in life, there are challenges that are thrown your way, and sometimes you don't know how you would react if you were thrust in that situation. So with this episode, we are going to react to scenarios that I've thought up. I haven't mm-hmm. given my opinion on it, so both of us will be going into it somewhat blind. But it'll be interesting to gauge how we would handle these situations because they are complicated. And some of these I have personally experienced. I'm not going to tell you which ones, but... But it'll be interesting to just get our opinions on these different scenarios. Are you ready, Enrique?
Yes, sir. Let's go.
Okay, so the first scenario. You meet a girl one night and begin a casual hookup. The morning after the hookup, she texts you and tells you that she's sorry that she forgot to tell you that she has gonorrhea. You freak out and get tested, and the results show that you also have gonorrhea. What would you do, and how would you handle the situation?
What? Gonorrhea? Really? Out of all things?
Yes! An uncurable STD.
Wait, it's curable?
It's uncurable.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Well, so she says she forgot to tell you, or she yes. didn't want to tell you?
It might be a combination of both. Maybe she didn't want to tell you and she always knew, but the bottom line is that now you know.
Here's my thing. You don't forget that you have something that's incurable. I don't give a fuck what it is. So I'm thinking about pressing charges. I'm sorry.
Really? So that's how you would handle this situation?
Yeah, I think that's like a form of evil. Like, for example, I heard one time in this area around in Delaware, like years ago, there was a chick who was actually sleeping around with all the college guys, mm-hmm. knowing she had HIV.
Oh, wow.
Knowing, and was passing it on. And by the time, like, you know, everything slowed down when she got caught, I think a good, like, 10, 12 guys had it.
Oh, like, wow.
That's evil as fuck. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. You just don't forget to admit. Now, you said it was casual hookups.
Mm-hmm.
You said I met her where now?
I guess at a club.
So it's probably drinks involved. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm pressing charges. I'm sorry. I just don't. But knowing me, I'm not a one-night stand kind of guy. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. And mainly because of scenarios like this. I like to be, like, in control of everything. So, but yeah, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, I have to press charges. What about you?
That's interesting. I think that, you know what? There are people out there that do this. There's a reason why I presented this scenario, because you might know people that do this. You might have heard stories. This is something that happens in the real world where somebody has an incurable STD and they are selfish. They want to live the lifestyle that they were living before. So they pretend that they don't have this virus and they are infecting other people selfishly. Right. I think this should be a felony. I think if you knowingly have something and you don't inform the person that you're having sexual relations with, that should be a crime. That should be a felony. And I think that that's very selfish. I don't care if alcohol was involved. You know what you have. You know, right. That's not something that you can forget, like Enrique said. I would press charges and I would, you know, hope that she goes to jail or prison for that, because that's terrible. You are ruining somebody's life for an hour of your life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're ruining somebody's life. That person that you're having, you know, sex with can never, you know, be cured of that virus. And then they have to go on and live their life. What if somebody doesn't want to marry them anymore because they have this virus? You know, that ruins their life completely. And somebody has to pay for that. We were talking about accountability with police officers in the beginning of this episode. The same situation applies.
Exactly. And here's my thing about it as well. If we were just like kicking it, and I really fuck with your vibes, and you told me that you have it, at that point, it's in my control to, like, take action on whether I'm going to, okay, I understand what she has, I know the risks, do I still really fuck with this girl enough to, like, want to sleep with her and want to be with her? Mm-hmm. And then it also gives me the option to be like, I wish you had said this sooner. It sucks that, you know, we built something, but, like, I don't want no parts of this. You get what I'm saying? At least you give me the opportunity. Here's my thing. I respect honesty. You being honest with me is cool. You doing dirt to me, that's not cool. At that point, I wish the worst for you.
Yeah, I think she didn't give you the chance to make a decision about whether or not you want to continue that relationship with you. She kept that a secret, and then the very next day texted you, oh, by the way, I have gonorrhea. No.
You know, by the way.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine if that happened to you? By the way, Enrique, I'm so sorry I forgot to tell you, but I have gonorrhea. You would be, that's like gaslighting you. Your mind would be spinning like crazy.
Spinning ain't the word. I probably, yeah. Man, listen. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's way worse than the I'm pregnant text.
I know, because that was another scenario. But, ooh, yeah, that's how I would handle it. So it's interesting. What would y'all do if y'all were in that situation? Obviously, I think the right thing to do is to tell the other person. And if they don't want to date you anymore, that's that. But, you know, I don't know how you contracted that in the first place. So don't try and give somebody else that same virus. No, this is your virus and you deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Enrique, next scenario. Your 12-year-old son comes to you and tells you that for a long time, he's been feeling different and he doesn't feel comfortable wearing pants. He's more comfortable wearing skirts and tells you that he feels like a girl. He's done research online and has come to the conclusion that he is trans. How would you handle this situation?
So this is the topic that actually introduced you to me.
Yes, it is.
Which is a great time for me to understand how powerful words can be. if that makes sense. I believe my statement before was that I would try to talk to him, try to get him to understand that he's at a certain age where he probably doesn't understand a lot of things, and it's okay. But make decisions later and not try to make them now, because I feel it's kind of like, if I could compare it to anything, like, for example, I'm getting a tattoo in November, right? I have no tattoos right now. And a lot of my friends was like, you know, it was crazy how you went through your 20s and your teens without getting a tattoo. I was like, yeah, well, I have a lot of dumbass friends at the age of 16, 17 getting dumbass tattoos. Like, but one friend, he had, you know how, like, fire looks like, right? Like, with the spiky ends? Yeah. So he got fire tattooed on his forearm, and in the middle of it, it said flames. And he thought it was the coolest fucking thing in the world. And I was just like, thank you for helping me not make a dumb decision right now. Or, you know, just a wild decision that I'm going to regret later. And when I was explaining this topic on our on the Lounge podcast, I just don't, I didn't want my kid to make a decision that he may regret, like, later on. So, but from what I learned from you is that it's best to have those conversations, even if you're not sure on how to go about it, but to be supportive and to seek help from other people who may be going through the same thing. So I would honestly be like, look, I don't know. I don't understand this because I've never been through this. However, I'm going to get the best counseling we can to figure out how we can deal with this appropriately. And if they change their mind later, so be it. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to love my kid regardless.
That's a great answer.
And number two, when they turn 18, it's their life anyway. There's nothing I can do after that.
Yeah, I think that that's interesting because it's a very delicate situation. Obviously, I think that a parent's job is to provide support to your child to learn, to understand, to not act rash. If this situation was something I was dealing with, I would definitely seek help from experts. I would definitely go to a professional and make him go through evaluations to make sure that this is not something that he's just Googling and is like, yeah, this is, you know, because kids are young. And if he said that he's been feeling like this for a long time, I should take it seriously and consult, you know, a therapist or a specialist that deals with children who are trans and work from there. But when it comes to the skirt situation, he said he wants to wear skirts. Would you allow him to wear skirts to school?
Yeah. If that's really what he, yeah, if that's what he wanted to wear, I just don't, I like, me and Dupree had this conversation where, like, we feel like a lot of people hop on trends that they see, you get what I'm saying? And it's usually like the teens and the kids, because these influencers are going around saying this and that, and they're just like, they're like their idols. Like, we were talking about Lil Nas X the other day, and I was like, do you find it crazy that, you know, Lil Nas X really blew up? And, you know, next thing you know, right before he puts out, I think it was his debut album, he announced that he was gay. And Dupree was like, he was like, nah, I never really thought about that. I was like, don't you think that's, like, kind of, like, really good marketing in a sense because of how LGBTQ plus rights are being pushed, like, during that time frame, like, in 2018? And he was like, yeah. Now, this is not me calling out Lil Nas X, but I'm just saying, like, I don't, I want my kid to understand that, like, don't hop on this because it's a trend, because it can offend people who are really going through this.
I don't know. I don't think that people would hop on it like a trend, because I don't know how many people out there are like, ooh, my favorite celebrity is gay, I'm going to be gay too. Like, I don't think that kids really think about stuff like that, because being gay is not something that people should just want to try on or try. You know what I mean? There are people that are born like that, that are having a hard time going through that. And I don't think that a kid would think like that. But at the same time, with what you were saying about Lil Nas X, I feel like it's kind of dangerous to talk about the reason why somebody decided to come out, because we don't know what's going on in their head. He's lucky that he came out in a time where these days people don't care if you're gay. People just want you to be honest and live your truth. And I'm happy that people were supportive of him coming out. Did it help his career? I don't know. Some people would argue that it might have hurt his career. So that's definitely an interesting opinion to have.
I think with him, especially, like, because there's really no gay male rappers that are very notable, like big at this point, and mm-hmm. he's kind of the first and only one right now. So, you know, like as me and Dupree, we kick shit every day, just talk about like random stuff. Mm-hmm. And he told me to come on here and not let you talk shit about Adele. So,
oh my god, he always has something to say. He thinks that I hate Adele. I don't hate Adele, but Dupree is one of the types of people that never likes to hold his heroes accountable. Adele was wearing this Jamaican garb and had the Bantu knots in her head, and he was like,
don't blaspheme Adele. Don't blaspheme Adele.
No, hold on. I will. I'm gonna come on here and defend him, even though he didn't defend me when he was on here.
I know. He let me talk dirty about you.
He always do. He's like, yo. And then he texts me. He's like, yo, you got to get Justin on the episode. I'm like, you're not going to stick up for your teammate? Bet.
Wow.
But I'll show him how it is. Like I told him about the whole hairdo situation with Adele. I was like, look, she's dating Stormzy right now. I was like, I'm pretty sure Stormzy has female friends or a sister or two that gave the A-OK for Adele to dress how she did in that picture. I was like, a lot of times when white people do things, I feel like they first feel like they have to get the A-OK. Well, not all, but a lot of ones that you see that actually deal with the black communities or like black music, black culture, I feel like a lot of them get the A-OK from those people that support them in order for them to, you know, wear the stuff that they wear. Like, my example was Justin Timberlake. I feel like with Timberland, Missy, you know, that whole legacy artist producer realm that Justin was like involved in. Yeah, there's mm-hmm. a reason why he wears Jordans. There's a reason why he dresses the way he does. He feels comfortable in his skin around in that environment and with those people.
And black, you're saying that black people gave him the okay and let him feel like he can also do those things too.
Yeah, you feel, you get a sense of, it's like gangs, in a sense. Like, you could think gangs are bad, but at the end of the day, a lot of these guys have no home, they have no family that really treats them or loves them, but yet these guys on the streets are always going to make sure they eat, always going to make sure they have money in their pockets. So guess what you start doing? You start rocking the red, you start rocking the blue.
Mm-hmm.
So, that doesn't give them the A-OK to say the N-word.
Right.
And also,
which is something we'll talk about later in this episode, actually.
Yep. And when Dupree said that a white woman having a black baby gives her the A-OK to call her baby a
mm-hmm.
I disowned him when he said that.
I think that that's wild. And I have a theory on why he said that, but I don't want to bring his
personal
life.
Bring it up. It's okay.
Yeah. but you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Okay.
I see what you're saying.
Just as long as we're on the same page, but I will spare his personal life because I don't think that's fair to talk about that. But mm-hmm. moving on to the next scenario. You and your significant other have been dating for a few weeks. After she feels comfortable with you, she lets you know that in her last relationship, it ended because she cheated. Knowing this information, would you continue the relationship or would you end things right there? Can a cheater be redeemed?
I think people can grow. I think people can change. And I think shit does happen. Like, maybe she... I mean, you didn't go in details into why she cheated, but maybe she felt like... Maybe her previous significant other was cheating. Or maybe she felt like, you know, he wasn't giving her the proper attention she wanted or needed.
Or maybe she wanted to feel good.
Yeah, maybe.
I just wanted to feel good.
Maybe she wanted to get caught up in a long ass, you know, like entanglement or something.
Entanglement. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I mean, anything's possible. But if I feel like things are going good and I see that you're not just out here just wilding out and you honestly brought that up to me to let me know that you did that, I feel like you're being real because you want this to really work out.
That's an interesting way to look at it. You're looking at it as she's being forthcoming. She's being honest. It's one thing for you to find out about that without her telling you. But the fact that she felt the balls to tell you, that makes you feel good.
Yeah. Like, now, if you're telling me that your last four or five husbands divorced you because you cheated on all of them, all right, that's that record right there. What makes me special? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You get what I'm saying?
Who's to say that you're not going to be the next one to get cheated on?
Exactly. If you're saying that, like, out of all your relationships, it's the only guy you cheated on, and, you know, you give me a detailed reason why, I can understand. And I feel like I'm not the person to judge you for what you did, you know?
That's so interesting, because I completely disagree with you. Reason mm-hmm. being, cheating is something that I don't tolerate. I think that if you cheat on somebody, you're going to cheat again. Because look at all these celebrity relationships. The person cheated on so-and-so before, and now they're divorced because they cheated again. I think that if you cheat once, if you're willing to go outside of your relationship once, who's to say you're not going to do it again? So if somebody's telling me that that's how their last relationship ended, I'm not even going to entertain it, because there's plenty of fish in the sea, and my time is important. I'm not going to invest in somebody that in the back of my mind, I'm worried about whether or not they're going to cheat or not. That's not fair to me, and that's not fair to that other person. So, you know, I'm not gonna entertain that. And I think that people should look at their time and look at what's worth it for you. Is it worth it to take a chance on somebody and then risk them cheating on you? Or is it worth it to find a relationship with somebody that's never cheated before and foster another relationship?
Listen, she hasn't cheated on you yet.
Yet. I love how you said yet, because she's gonna cheat on you.
Not necessarily. I think that you're overlooking the realness, because she didn't have to say that at all and then just dated you. And if it went perfectly, right, for like a year or two, and then out of nowhere, her ex reaches out to you, has a good conversation, like, yeah, the reason we broke up is because she cheated on me. And now this girl's been by your side for 2 years, always in your eyesight, not because, like, you want her to be, but, like, she's just been around you and just kicking it, and everything's been going well, and you know for a fact she hasn't stepped out on you. The future's unknown, man. That's the only thing I'm saying. And, like, I like to look at things optimistically. And like I said, I don't believe in judging people in certain situations. Why? Because I don't like to be judged on certain situations.
Right, because I always judge you.
Yeah, we know.
Always. So, anytime Enrique steps out of line, I'm always there to course correct. I was like, you will not be saying these things. But
listen, I tell Dupree, I'm like, I have a fan and he loves me. I was like, and I love him. I was like, he keeps me straight. I was like, and he gives me the push to keep going.
Of course, of course. And you do the same thing with me. If I ever say something out of line, you'll be quick to course correct me as well.
Captain Reach, that's what your name is.
Sir Problematic, that's you.
No. You dubbed Dupree as Problematic King. I saw that. There you go.
We'll see. We'll find another nickname for Enrique. But that's an interesting answer. You're willing to take that risk on somebody. I'm not. And I think that everybody's entitled to their own decisions. Right. If that decision comes back to bite you, so be it. But I'm the type of person that I'm not even going to risk it. If there's a chance of that, nip it in the bud and move on to the next one. Sorry. Sorry. I ain't sorry.
I get it, man. And I think, for me personally, would I probably take it as a yes? Like, we can continue doing this? No. I don't think I would, because I know, like, I've been cheated on once or twice. So, and that shit sucks. That feeling sucks. And then it brings back that anxiety, like, the always, like, thinking, like, yo, what are they really doing?
Are you cheating on me? Are you cheating on me?
That, and I don't have time to live my life like that. At the end of the day, we grow as people, and I feel like people can change. It's like you said, it's really up to you to decide if you're going to take on that task. And if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, you learn something new.
Exactly. That's life. Life is all about undertaking things, you know, learning through it. There might be problems and rocky bumps along the way, but hey, that's a part of life. We live and we learn. And if you want to take a risk on somebody, you live and you learn. Next scenario, Enrique. You are a star basketball player and have finally found the person to settle down with. She is a cheerleader and brings in $27,000 a year. Your mother tells you she doesn't think this girl has the right intentions and pleads with you not to marry her. She also doesn't like the fact that the woman you're trying to marry is not a black woman. What would you do, and how would you handle this situation?
That's a good one. Because I actually had to go with that through my grandmother growing up. She didn't really want me talking. Well, I mean, honestly, she didn't want me talking to any girls. But especially the ones that weren't black. And I understand because, you know, she was born in the 50s. She grew up in the South, and she witnessed and saw things. But I personally believe that, you know, the heart wants what it wants. And as long as everything's going rocky and steady, yeah, go for it.
But you're a star basketball player, and she makes $27,000 a year. If your mom is telling you that she doesn't think that this person has the right intentions, you're going to ignore what she said in order to listen to your heart?
Again, I said, depending on the situation, if everything is going good, like, you can honestly be able to tell if someone's really after you for, like, the money or
no, you
if someone's...
Can't.
Yes, you can. You definitely
you can't.
Can. You can. Listen, date that girl for 5 years and don't buy her anything and see what she's really about. And if she's
But that's a lot of time. You have a lot of time on your hands if you're willing to invest 5 years in somebody that your mom has told you that she doesn't have the right intentions. So you're going to spend five years to find out whether or not she's a gold digger or not?
No, I'm not out here hoeing. I'm just saying if we're dating, given about like a year or two, some realness is going to show. You don't really, well, they say you truly don't really know anyone. But in a year or two, you'll be able to figure, like, enough out if, like, you really want to spend the rest of your life with this person or not. Mm-hmm. So, granted, like, yeah, she's cheerleader. She makes $27,000. I'm a star NBA player. Yeah, if we're dating 1 or 2 years and I'm not entertaining you with buying you fancy stuff or anything, you're there just for me? Like, you're there and you don't ask me for anything? Like, okay. This seems legit. However, there's a prenup. I'm protecting myself regardless.
Segway King. That was my next little bullet point on this scenario. Would you sign a prenup?
Fuck yeah.
Really? But don't you, if you love her and she hasn't asked you for anything, a prenup, that should just throw that out the window and just listen, marry her without the prenup.
Listen, Justin, I'm prenupping right now and I only got thousands in the bank. I want, when it comes to divorces, let me break it down to you. Marriages is nothing but a financial contract about you merging your assets with someone else's. That's mm-hmm. it. At the end mm-hmm. of the day, when you divorce, whoever has more, well, depending on how the divorce goes, whoever has more usually gives that to the other person when it's right. a split. I'm not splitting shit. What I come in here with, I'm leaving with.
I don't know. There's people out there that say that if you're signing a prenup, that means you're thinking about divorce. But with marriage, you should think about love and that individual and spending your future with them forever. Like, you should never, at no point should you ever think about, what if it doesn't work out? No, if you're marrying somebody, it will work out because a marriage is a contract forever. Not, 2-3 months in or 2 or 3 years in, you're like, I'm not happy anymore. I want to feel good. And then you get a divorce? No. Like, that's not what a marriage is.
Good. You killed me.
I want it to feel good. I want somebody that makes me happy. Like, some people argue about that when it comes to prenups. Like, if you truly love somebody, you will not sign a prenup.
I disagree with that one. Hard disagree. Here's my thing. If I bring up a prenup agreement to my girl now and she gets snarky about it, if you love me and you're saying, like, okay, I'm gonna sign it, that doesn't matter, everything should be okay. But if you're asking constant questions about it, like, oh, you don't trust me on this, that, there, and you know I got a lot of shit, like a lot of money and stuff like that, now I'm starting to look at you different.
Well, I hope your girlfriend is not listening to this episode.
Oh, she will be.
Does she listen to y'all's show? I've always wanted to ask if y'all's girlfriends listen to the podcast.
Mine does. Mine does. Anthony's does. Dupree's girl doesn't.
Okay. See, that's why he's so reckless, because he knows that whatever he says, there's nobody to call him out and say, what were you talking about on the podcast?
Oh, no. Listen, at one point, it was kind of crazy, but she just stopped listening to it. So
that's interesting. But I don't know. I think that I'm also with you. I was giving you a hard time, but I also think that you need to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're marrying for love, I guess. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, even though all that money is yours and you're earning that, as a family, you know, that's y'all's money. You know what
exactly.
I mean? So your house, you get to live in a big house. You get to, you know, spend money and have purses and live a nice lifestyle. And that's that.
These women's, they evil.
I'm joking. Oh my god.
Not a woman. However, this one scenario sticks in my head till this day, and I had to be like 17, 18 when this happened. So at my church, my aunt was a caretaker for this guy that was starting to come to our church for his mother. She was in her later days. They're older Italian, and he's like, they're like wealthy as fucking can be. Rich as fuck, right? Mm-hmm. So I became really good friends with his son, who's like a couple years older than me. And he was going through a divorce. No, there was no prenup involved, right? But mm-hmm. he was the one that really made all the money. He had the millions and everything. Mm-hmm. So the wife, before the divorce was going to get settled and stuff, she still had access to the joint account.
Oh, wow.
She takes out $250,000 from one account, buys a house.
Wow.
And still split everything and the rest separately.
Wow.
So that scenario right there has just stuck in, it's like in the front of my fucking brain. I'm like, that's, it's not, honestly, it's not evil. She's smart as fuck. He's just stupid for not getting shit like in the clear. But
he's also dumb because is he not monitoring his account? If I saw $250,000 leave my account, I would have questions. What is he doing? Sleeping? Is he so rich that he doesn't even have to bother looking at his account?
He was a public accountant, so I'm pretty sure he was busy. But I think he got that notification like the next day or two, probably looking through his emails.
Wow.
Hey, yeah, he was livid.
But that's dumb. Like, if you're a whole accountant and that's something that goes under the radar, I think that that's a silly mistake, to be honest.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. Just because he knows how to make money doesn't make him, like, brilliant at all. I hung out with him, I've been on trips with him, been out to fancy dinners and stuff like that, and he's one of those older Italian guys, very macho, very Guido. Okay. Mm-hmm. Likes to talk a lot and stuff like that. Nice guy, but like he was kind of full of himself at that point. And I think that he just needed a humbling, and the wife.
Oh, surely, he got humbled, all right.
Yeah.
So, he got humbled, all right.
But that scenario still just never left my fucking mind.
That's interesting. Prenup. If you are a multimillionaire and the person you're marrying makes $27,000 a year, get a prenup. I know that love is love, but at the end of the day, you don't know what people's true intentions are. As Enrique said, 1, 2, 3 years into a relationship, you kind of see the motivations of the person that you're with. If you see that it's starting to increasingly be about money, then you have to keep that in the back of your mind and move accordingly. But everybody has to be smart, especially when it comes down to money, because the number one reason why couples divorce is due to money. So you just have to be smart.
Absolutely. You're right.
You are out for dinner and you hear a man berating a server to the point where others in the restaurant are visibly uncomfortable. On your way out the restaurant, do you say something to the man or do you mind your business and keep it pushing?
I say that you should say something right then and there. I think you should always be willing to speak up for people when they can't really speak up for themselves. Especially because, like, that server, if they would say something back, would get fucking fired. And it's not fair. And I know, like, how it feels from a customer service standpoint. I've done customer service jobs all the way up until, like, 2017, 2018. I've never been personally, like, talked to, like, dirty over the phone, like, by someone. Mm-hmm. But, like, I have sat next to people who have. It always brings me joy when management will come on the phone and try to get the customer to calm down and say that we don't accept that language here and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think it would be right to stick up for that server at that moment when it's happening. I don't tolerate that. And don't be one of those in my crowd when we go out to eat. Like, I will tell you to leave.
Has that happened before where somebody that you were eating dinner with was being rude to a server?
No, everyone, like, for example, if we ever get to meet and we go out, like, we actually hang a person, you'll understand, like, I'm very chill. Like, I'm very chill. I'm very calm. I'm not macho. I leave all that to Dupree. No, I don't tolerate that. That's disrespectful. Just because you're having a bad day doesn't mean you should pass that on to other people. Or just because you have money or, like, a certain status doesn't mean that we're supposed to bow down and kiss your fucking feet.
That's true. And a lot of people think that they can treat people in the service industry anyhow. Like, growing up, whenever I went to dinner with my family, first of all, my dad doesn't believe in tipping. And whenever we would eat as a family, sometimes he would tip a dollar. And we had to, like, persuade him to leave something. And then he would just tip a dollar. And he would be sometimes rude to the people that serve us. And then one time we told him, you have to be nice, because if you're mean to them, they can spit in your food. And then after we told him that, he was, you know, acting accordingly. So, you know, that was one way to get him to, you know, treat people with respect and decency. But people, you know, treat them anyhow. If I was in this situation, I think I would say something. Given the era that we're in now with Trump and all this stuff, you know, I'm not letting things slide anymore. No. If something is wrong, I would hope that somebody would speak up and speak out. Mm-hmm. I don't tolerate somebody being rude, you know, for no reason. Treat people with respect, and I would definitely say something and give them a piece of my mind. But you have to also be careful with what you say and what you do, because things can escalate. In Texas, there's open carry. People can carry a gun on you and didn't just shoot you. That stuff is also in the back of my mind as well. You have to be careful. Think clearly before you make any decision. But at the end of the day, I would defend the server, because sometimes they're not able to speak up, and I would let him know that that kind of behavior is not tolerated at all.
My thing is, like I said, like, hopefully their management comes out and handles the situation. But if management doesn't, then I feel like we as people who see this going on, we all need to back up that person and tell this guy, like, yo, you need to call it.
Yeah.
Like, especially, like, I don't like that, especially like in restaurants where there's kids around and stuff like that. You're not displaying a good image, and it's honestly embarrassing for the people you have out with you.
Yeah,
for you and the people that you, the company you bring, whether that's your kids, your nieces, nephews. Yeah, I'm not for that at all.
Yeah, I agree with you. We have three more. I promise we're almost done, Enrique.
That's cool.
You are a star NFL player that has a reputation for always staying quiet when it comes to social issues. In light of the George Floyd incident, you were under increased pressure to stand up for Black Lives Matter. You were also in your contract year. Do you take a knee in solidarity with your brothers, or do you stand up with your hand over your heart?
Taking a knee.
Really?
Yeah, fuck. Here's my thing, right? This shit is bigger than money, man. It's bigger than everything. I don't know if you and Dupree have talked about it, but yes, I'm going to be a father.
Congrats again.
Thank you. Coming in March. I pray it's a boy. Not that I don't want a daughter, but...
Well, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, my situation right now, I already have, technically speaking, in the future, a stepdaughter. And I love that little girl to death. She brings me joy every day I get to see her. But I'm praying to have a boy. And my thing about having a boy is I really don't want him to have to go through the shit that's going on today. Money, yeah, it's nice to fill up my bank account. But, like, I can go get a regular job and take care of my family if I have to, you know?
I think that's interesting. They're going to call me a coon. I think I would stand up.
What?
I think that there are more than just one way to protest. There's such thing as protesting on the field, and there's such a thing as protesting off the field. It sucks that this individual has been quiet about social issues in the past, but in the age of Black Lives Matter, I don't think it's fair to say that if somebody doesn't take a knee, they don't believe in Black Lives Matter, that they're a coon, that all they care about is money. You know, people are under different circumstances. I'm in my contract year. If I perform this, you know, well, I'm going to be able to feed my family for generations to come. I think that I would not take the risk of taking a knee and having the team cut me and me not having anything when I'm in a position of power to possibly make a lot of money in the future. That's just a risk I can't take. But off the field, that doesn't mean that I can't be active in my community in other ways. I've already accumulated some amount of money. I can use that money to donate to causes that I care about. I can start foundations. I can start speaking out on social media. Those are the, you know, the impacts that I can make in my life without having to take a knee and risk my employer firing me before I get the chance to, you know, make money in my contract year. What do you think about that?
I can agree. To an extent, I think that what people don't understand is, like you're saying, there's different ways to do it. Because what I hated was when everyone was turning their profile picture black for the day. and then the next day they turn it back to whatever it was. But people were shitting on other people, like, why isn't your picture black? I'm like, okay, their picture doesn't have to be black, like, is not black, but maybe they actually donated like $10,000 to the movement. You're gonna get mad at them because they are protesting differently than how you are.
Somebody can post a black square just so people don't call them racist, but they still don't believe in Black Lives Matter at the end of the day. So a black square doesn't mean anything.
Every Instagram model has posted a black square, and I can tell you after that black square, it was just another bikini picture or them promoting fucking Herbalife or some shit. Like, nothing else about the political movement that's going on, the Black Lives movement going on. So, like I said, I can agree with you. I feel like there's different ways on how you can maneuver and to get the same end result. And the only thing that's really slowing us down is the fact that we keep fighting with each other.
No, you're absolutely right.
That's the problem. We keep fighting with each other versus fighting it together just from like two different ends. Like, okay, this end may not work, but however, if we go a different way, we might get access that way directly. So, yeah, that's just how I feel. So I do agree with you. I just think for me, I'm not really money driven.
That's an interesting take. So you would take a knee?
Yeah, I would take a knee. I feel like that's just my way of how I would protest. And if you're saying that you're going to do what you can do in order to provide for your family, I really, really fucking respect that. And like I said, I don't think it makes you a coon. However, I feel like if you stand up with the hand over your heart and you don't speak about the issues and you continue to kiss the CEO, aka the white man's ass, that makes you a coon.
Here's the second to last one. You and your white friend have been friends for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. You follow each other on Instagram and on Twitter, but you're just now finding his Facebook page. You add each other on Facebook, and while you're looking at his past photos, you scroll down to his feed and see that in high school, he was posting racist things on his Facebook page. Would you confront him about this? How would you handle this situation?
Absolutely. I believe confronting him is the best way of, like, seeing where he's at, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, have you... Because, like I said earlier, I believe in growth, you know? And he could be like, yo, look, during that time in my life, I was just hanging around the wrong people. I was getting the wrong information fed from my dad, my mom.
And from Fox.
From Fox, you know? And I lived a little bit. And I got to know people. I got to know black people. You know, I got to know Spanish people. And I realized that you guys, like, I mean, I don't want to say you guys, but that's what you would say. I realized that you guys aren't what everyone makes you out to be.
You blacks.
Yeah, you blacks. That sounds so evil, you blacks.
I hate that.
Yeah. If someone ever says that to me, I'm going to jail. I'm just saying.
You know what they really wanted to say when they say that. I don't like when people are like, blacks? It just does not sound good. Say black people or the African-American community or the black community, but just something about blacks. It just doesn't
blacks
sound good to me.
Blacks is the proper way of saying it really is. But there was a post I saw with the Black Lives Movement, and it was this dude who was in the army. And he was talking about how his squad was. And he said that he was from the South. He'd never been around black people. Never been around Spanish people. He'd never been around Asians. And crazy enough, his little squad was very diverse. And he said that they went on a mission. And he said, like, the mission could have went terribly fucking wrong. But they really, like, helped one another to survive.
Right.
And he said from that moment forward, he was like, only thing that mattered to me was that we all share the same blood. And that he was like fuck racism, and that kind of touched me because I feel like it really takes extreme events for you to really humble yourself to understand that we're all the same.
I know Enrique, and what you said is so true, because what bothers me is that, you know, when black people were fighting, you know, in the war, they would return to a country that was segregated. Blacks here, mm-hmm. blacks only, whites only. And it's like, I shed my blood, my sweat, and my tears for this country. But at the end of the day, I can't sit on the lunch counter. I have to sit at the back of the bus. I have to drink at the black water fountain. Mm-hmm. What is this? What kind of country is this? That's what makes me so sad. And the legacy of this country, you know, racism is something that we will have a hard time washing out of our history. And we have not gone as far as we think we've gone. Look at what we're dealing with now. Mm-hmm. You know, we just got the verdict on the Breonna Taylor case. It's 2020 and the George Floyd situation happened. You know, we have not gone as far as we think we've gone.
I think someone put the comparison with Breonna Taylor and Emmett Till. It's actually like the same day, September 23rd, but it's like a 60, 70 year difference. I'm not sure mm-hmm. where both of those mm-hmm. guys were acquitted of all charges. Like, it's very sick. It's very sick. I just hope that in fucking 50 years, this shit's not happening again. People are being held accountable.
The hope. The sad thing is that 50 years ago, that's what they were saying. And then look where we've come now, and it's still the same thing. You know, all we can do is hope and do what we can do, vote, control what we can control. When it comes to this scenario that we were talking about, I would definitely have questions for this individual, and I would question him. You are the type of person that is very forgiving. I'm not very forgiving, and I'm very skeptical. Mm-hmm. I feel like you have to do a lot to prove that you're not racist. I know that we all grow. I know that we change. I know that we were all stupid, but not everybody was racist also. But I have heard stories of people that grew up in a racist environment. Once they had different experiences and once they moved away, they learned that their past behaviors were wrong and they've changed from that. So for me, it'd be really hard for me to look at them the same way. It would take a long time of us being around each other for me to, you know, finally feel comfortable around them. Right. 'Cause in the back of my mind, I'd be like, if you're this way in the past, like, what's your family like? Like, do you have other black friends? Like, I would have a lot of questions. So it'd be hard for me to, you know, continue looking at them in the same way.
I get it. I can respect that. I just think that it's until you can prove to me that I'm wrong, I have to look at it from an optimistic standpoint. I have to go off of what the information provided me at this point. Now, when I catch you on your fuckery, don't try to cover it up. You get what I'm saying? Like, yeah, now I know what you really are.
Yeah, don't be trying to stutter. I was trying. No, none of that. No. No, not because you know when you catch somebody in the act, they start stuttering. We're not playing that game. We are not playing that.
I don't play that. And yeah, like you said, I am very forgiving. Like I said, I believe in growth. And if you can prove to me that you change, great. As soon as you start fucking up just a little bit, I'm on your ass.
Yeah, and we should hold the people accountable. So absolutely. It is what it is. Okay, Enrique, the very last scenario, we have sadly come to the end. So we'll end with the tamer one. We've been going with some controversial ones. Right. We'll end with the tame one. What would you do if your friend hates someone who has always shown the utmost respect to you and has always been nice to you? Do you listen to your friend and stop communicating with that individual? Or do you continue to maintain a friendly relationship with them?
So, I put it to you this way. I'm pretty sure, well, there's a lot of people Dupree fuck with that I don't fuck with, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people I fuck with that Dupree don't fuck with. You know what I'm saying? As long as right. said individual's not talking bad about Dupree, we cool. And as long and vice versa, in my opinion. So, like I said, I like to lead things with optimism. And as long as you're not talking shit about the other person behind their back. I hate friends that like are hanging with someone else and that other person talking friends about like me, and you're not sticking up for me.
That's happened to me, and I would have been caught in the middle, and sadly, those relationships are no more. Right. I've been caught in the middle where one friend hates my other friend hates my other friend, but I'm caught in the middle. They're telling me stuff about each other, mm-hmm. And then I'm caught in the middle, and I look like the bad guy because, right. you know, all of it just got to be too much where it's like, well, how come, you know, this person was saying stuff and you didn't say anything? And it's like I didn't want to cause any drama, but in a way, I made it even bigger than it was, and it ended up being this big thing, and now none of us are friends anymore. Right. So I've definitely learned a lesson with that, and it's sad because I consider those people my really good friends, and we're not friends anymore. I think that, like you said, if they're not saying anything about the other person in your presence, that's fine. But I think that it can be a sticky situation when they're saying things about the other friend to you and you're caught in the middle.
Well, that's when you need to hold people accountable. If I said what I said, I have to be honest about that. And that honesty can make or break friendships. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like I said, like I'm just using this as an example. Me and Dupree, we have like different side friend groups that, you know, I don't really kick with or he don't really kick with. But at the end of the day, if they start talking shit about Dupree, I'm like, yo, don't talk about him. Keep your comments to yourself. And if he's talking shit about them, I'm telling him, like, look, keep your comments to yourself. I'm cool with them. You know I'm cool with them. Yeah, but I just don't like the way to move. Yeah, well, I'm cool with them. Like,
I should have done that. You're stopping the drama right there and not continuing any further, because sometimes it can get to the point where they're telling you stuff because they want you to tell the other person, and then it's like this big thing, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I've definitely learned lessons in life. I've learned to be, you know, a better friend. And, you know, like we said, it's always a full circle moment on this podcast. We live and we learn. There might be bumps along the way, but we learn from our mistakes. And I've definitely learned from the mistakes that I've made in life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you can befriend somebody that hates your other friend. You have a separate, you know, relationship, and you also have a separate relationship with your other friend. Those two worlds don't have to blend. You know, we can just agree to be friends separately.
Yes, it's called maturity.
Yeah, you're right. It's called maturity. And we've all grown up, we've all dealt with situations like that, but we've lived and we've learned. So I've definitely done that, and you've done that, and we just learn to deal with stuff as they come to us.
Absolutely.
Woo! We left the people gems on this episode, Enrique.
Yes, we did.
Man, this was fun. It was just good to pick your brain on this episode, see how you think, you know, about these different scenarios, because some of them, you know, I have been through myself, and that's why I wanted to bring it up on the podcast, because I'm sure that other people can relate to it. You know what I mean?
It always feels good when you can find other people that can relate through experiences you've been through. Mm-hmm. And also to get like someone's outlook on said experience as well. And it's kind of, I'm not trying to brag about myself, but I find it really amazing when a lot of people come up to me. They're just like, you give really good advice. So I have this event going on. I'm like, okay. And then like, you give really good advice. I have this event going on. And next thing you know, I'm talking to like 6-7 different people trying to help them out. Like, I'm not no fucking therapist or anything, but like, I just try to get people to always look at the full picture. And it's like what you told me in the DMs last week. You respect that, like, I always try to get the full picture to get a full understanding on what's going on. And right. I feel like if America just took a second to really do that, they will understand how important this election is.
Of course. And there he goes, Segway King. Vote, guys. Vote, 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 vote. November 3rd is coming. Whatever state you live in, look at the dates for voter registration. Make sure you're registered, because this is the election of our lifetimes. Y'all might think it's hyperbole to say it, but, you know, the future of our democracy could very well be at stake. And what side of history were you on when it mattered most? Are you going to look back in this moment and be like, man, I shoulda, woulda, coulda when it comes to voting? I hope that's not the case. Do what you can do now. Control what you can control and vote, because other people fought for that right. So that's what I think about it.
Absolutely. This will be the first election I actually take part in. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I told you before, and Dupree knows me, I don't really do politics.
Mm-hmm.
I believe all of it, in the grand scheme of things, is just really a big fucking joke. And our people really don't benefit from it at all. But I'm tired of America looking like a fucking joke. I'm really sick of it. Like, I want to be able to eventually be able to go overseas. And if someone asks me if I'm American, they just don't start fucking laughing at me because of this fucking big flaming Cheeto in office. Like, no.
Exactly. It's embarrassing for everybody. We are a laughing stock right now. It's just embarrassing. And I'm glad that this is going to be the first election that you're, you know, taking part in. Like me and Dupree were talking about on last week's episode, a lot of people think that their vote doesn't matter. And some people have a right to feel that way based on everything black people as a whole have been through. Doctors, you know, putting syphilis in you, you know, your government lying to you and gerrymandering and trying to suppress your vote. You know, if all these systems in place are suppressing you, you're going to think that, you know what, why will anything change if there are all these people against me? Right. So when these racist people say that black people have a victimhood mentality, is because they are victims. They were enslaved. They didn't have the right to vote. They weren't able to read. And y'all are, you know, suppressing their vote also. So what do you want from these people? You know,
your ancestors put us here.
What I'm saying,
that's what they need to understand. We're not blaming you personally, but your lineage of folk put us here. They are the sole fucking reason we have the disadvantages. They are the sole fucking reason we're bitching and complaining to y'all right now.
Literally, you literally tied somebody up during a race, and for 400 years you started running, trying to complete the race, and then you finally cut the rope off them, and they started running, and you're like, man, why are y'all so far behind? Ooh, right. I wonder why. I wonder why.
Yeah, like fucking some kid come up to me was like, yeah, well, my dad had a yacht. Well, I bet my dad could have a yacht too if my great-great-grandfather wasn't fucking picking cotton in your fucking great-great-grandfather's field. Like, exactly. Fuck out of here, bro.
There's layers to everything, and that's what my goal is with this podcast. Nothing is ever black and white. There are shades of gray to everything, and not everything is what it seems. Look at the deeper picture. Understand why things are the way they are, and if you don't like that picture, fix it. And one, you know, power that we do have is our power to vote. So I, again, encourage you all to vote. Enrique Escobar, thank you. You brought the fire. You brought the opinions to this episode. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, man. It was a pleasure. Big fan of Polar Opposites. You guys, make sure you come check us out in the lounge. I'm sure Justin's going to promote us, as he always does. Of course. Thank you for showing love. It was an honor and a pleasure being on your platform, bro.
Of course, anytime. You guys, I hope you guys have a good rest of your week. If you need to, don't look at the news too much because it can be a dark for all of us. But control what you can control. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend. And as always, I will catch you guys on the next one. Y'all have a good rest of your week.